The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Thank you very much, Eamon. Donald Trump is facing two electoral tests today with state elections in both Wisconsin and Florida. We look more closely at those races shortly with Terry Sheridan. But first, we're going to hear what the president had to say to NBC's Meet the Press this weekend on tariffs and the possibility of seeking a third term. Here's Kirsten Welker, moderator of Meet the Press, reporting on their discussion of tariffs.
Markets tumbled on Friday, and with consumer confidence falling, the president also told me he's not backing down on his tariff plans. And the president telling me tariffs are, quote, absolutely permanent. And on fears of foreign automakers raising prices, quote, I couldn't care less if they raise prices because people are going to start buying American-made cars.
And Kirsten Welker also asked about the possibility of Trump seeking a third term, which is expressly forbidden by the Constitution.
We discussed a range of topics, including the possibility of him serving a third term. He's joked about it, but these were his most extensive comments. Yet he told me he's not joking. He said there are methods by which you could do it, but he said it's far too early to think about it. He said he's focused on his current job. At the same time, I did press him on those methods. There's been some discussion about the possibility of Vice President J.D. Vance running perhaps at the top of the ticket with President Trump running in the number two slot and then swapping if they were to win. President Trump telling me that is a method. He said there are other methods. I asked if he could give me details, and he said flatly, no.
And here is Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt's response to all of this.
You guys continue to ask the president this question about a third term, and then he answers honestly and candidly with a smile, and then everybody here melts down about his answer. The president was talked about this last night on the plane. He said, it's not really something we're thinking about. He has 4 years. There's a lot of work to do. We've done a lot in these nearly first 100 days, and the American people love what this president is doing.
But at the end of the day, is this all just distracting from last week's revelation that war details were shared on a group chat with a journalist?
As the president has made it very clear, Mike Waltz continues to be an important part of his national security team. And this case has been closed here at the White House as far as we are concerned. There have been steps made to ensure that something like that can obviously never happen again. And we're moving forward. And the president and Mike Waltz and his entire national security team have been working together very well. If you look at how much safer the United States of America is because of the leadership of this team.
The case now closed, according to Karoline Leavitt. Well, let's go stateside now and speak to Terry Sheridan, Senior Director of News at WSHU Public Radio. Terry, good morning.
Hey, good morning to you, Pat.
Is it case closed?
It may be case closed inside the White House and legally, but it's not case closed as far as the American public is concerned. It's something that is being used as an example about perhaps the incompetence of the senior team at the White House. It's a very sore spot as well with members of the military because of military discipline, and veterans are saying, hey, this is not right. This shouldn't have happened, and if it did happen, there should be consequences, because if it happened to me, I'd be drummed out of the Army.
Now, the question of Pete Hegseth, and he is the one who shared those details on the Signal platform, it seems that the president is determined to hang on to him. I mean, already he's shown himself to be inept, including employing his own brother in some sort of liaison role, a man like himself, unqualified for the position.
Pete Hegseth right now is being protected by the president. The anger was at National Security Advisor Mike Waltz, who started the whole thing and who started to talk about different things. Yes, Hegseth was the one who actually talked about specific plans, but it was Waltz who started this and got the administration involved in this mess.
Now, the suggestion was being made that although Mike Waltz was the one who invited the journalist onto the group meeting, unwittingly it would appear, but it meant that that journalist's name had got to be in his contacts list, and he's suggesting that it could be in some way inserted by third parties, in which case anybody could have been inserted in there were that to be true. So his credibility, I mean, he just lied blatantly on television, his credibility is completely shot.
Well, pretty much so, yeah. I mean, here's the thing. Let's go back and look at all of the different, ramifications or consequences of what happened. Not only was this sensitive conversation exposed to the public, exposed to our so-called allies, our presumed allies, also our enemies, also the people who we were going to bomb, but it's why was this on a signal chat? Why was this not in a secure room, this conversation? Why was this on personal devices? Why, we believe, was one of these personal devices literally in Russia at the moment that this conversation was happening? Was it to avoid FOIA requests, Freedom of Information requests? Or was it just because people thought that signal is a secure, a super secure platform, which while it may be encrypted, it's not secure to the level that the intelligence community requires.
Now, what this scandal does expose is that they used the signal platform when they should not. And it appears that it is used quite widely in that administration, rightly or wrongly, because rightly, I suppose, if there are non-contentious conversations taking place about other matters. But wrongly if they are national security concerns. But the question still remains, and they're going to get Elon to investigate how a journalist could be unwittingly added to this group.
Well, again, he says unwittingly, but again, the journalist from The Atlantic says, no, I've spoken to Mike Waltz. Mike Waltz has my phone number, so my email. I've spoken to him. I've met with him. So for him to say he doesn't know me from Adam or to say that he's never met me is not true. So it was in his phone book. It was just a matter of, we assume it was just a matter of sloppy creation of this chat group. But again, if Signal is so secure, how could a third party get into it?
Now, the question is, and, maybe and they've tried to troll the ranks of any other possible participants, but JG, the initials of the man added to the group, as I think Jimmy Kimmel suggested, Jeff Goldblum might have been the intended addition to the group. But, I mean, is there someone in Israel, for example, that they wanted to be part of the group and mistook the addition?
It could be. It could be anybody else. It could be Fat Fingers, on a keyboard or on a phone that just typed in the wrong letters. Again, it just points, no matter how you look at the situation, it points that it is sloppy. And when you're talking about the National Security Advisor, you're talking about the Department of Defense, you're talking about the National Intelligence Secretary, you can't be sloppy in this way.
The National Lack of Intelligence Secretary, it would appear. Now, let's move on to Trump and his talk of a third term. I mean, there are those who suggest this is purely a distraction. Get people talking about a third term, which is constitutionally prohibited, but all sorts of trickery might be afoot to try and make it possible. But whether or not this is just really a distraction, Trump knows he's only got two terms, and this is to distract from Signalgate.
It could be a distraction from a whole lot of things besides Signalgate. The tariffs that Trump has announced, then canceled, then reformed, then canceled, then threatened, then canceled. The American people are down on that. They are extremely unpopular because besides just the confusion and besides what's happening to the markets, it is affecting, people's 401k. As the market goes down, they're unpopular. The cuts that Elon Musk is making through to various departments and to various grants going to universities and other organizations is unpopular. So, yes, it could be a distraction for that. It could be a political thing to freeze possible successors from starting to organize, to push off being a lame duck as to later in his administration instead of in 2 years when that usually happens. And then the other thing is that he really means it. I mean, if you go back to his first term, he talked about, we're talking 2019, early 2020, that he deserved a third term because he was cheated out of his first term because of the Russia investigation and because of the impeachment. Now, again, as you say, it's prohibited in the Constitution. If he tries to do this, it would be a loophole. based on the word elected, as we heard in the clip, that, you know, he could be appointed. And then there is discussion about whether that would happen. So right now it's hard to say. While it may be a distraction, while it may be a political thing, I think if he thinks he could get away with it, he would quite possibly do it.
Now, the theory that J.D. Vance would become the candidate and he would be the vice presidential candidate, and then nobly J.D. Vance would step down, making way for the return of a third presidential term for Trump. I wouldn't be betting on J.D. Vance stepping down, would you?
No, I wouldn't be betting on it unless, again, and who knows with Donald Trump and his followers, unless if it would be so unpopular with MAGA that J.D. Vance would feel that he would have to become vice president again and then wait another 4 years for his term. The controversy with this plan is the 12th Amendment, which says that a person who is ineligible to be elected president is ineligible to be nominated as vice president. And that's if it goes that far, that's what's going to be the case that's going to be litigated.
Meantime, we have the specter of international students being lifted by ICE people in masks, unidentified, bearing arms on the streets of the United States, and then people being sent to all sorts of places well out of the reach of their families. This reminds me of the SS in Nazi Germany. I mean, it is disturbing in the extreme.
Well, what we saw last week with the student from Tufts University who was walking along the street, she was surrounded, as you said, by unidentified men wearing masks and multiple men. This wasn't just one or two police officers or ICE agents approaching her. She was, you know, as you say, was abducted. It was a long time before anyone knew where she was. She was taken far away, thousands of miles away. We believe that she's still in the country, but was taken thousands of miles away from her family. And it appears that her only crime was that she wrote, and I'm using crime with air quotes, was that she wrote an op-ed in her college newspaper criticizing Israel over its conduct of the war in Gaza.
It's an unedifying sight to see on the streets of the United States. Now, there are elections today, and what are we to look out for?
Well, the big one is in Wisconsin, and this is for what would usually be a relatively obscure election. It's for a seat on the state Supreme Court, which in Wisconsin is an elected position. It's four judges. You have to be a judge to run, and you have a Republican and a Democratic candidate. And it's for control of the Wisconsin State Supreme Court, which if the Republicans pick up this seat, they would have control of the Supreme Court, and they would have control of the legislature so that they could put in a more conservative agenda than what they currently have. What makes this special is that this has turned into a referendum on both Elon Musk and President Trump. Elon Musk has spent $25 million on this race supporting the Republican candidate. He has called this race that the entire destiny of humanity rests on this race. Controversially, he held a lottery to get people to sign a petition in which he gave away $2 million. So it's up in the air, but it has become a referendum on the administration and on DOGE. We have two seats in Florida that are being held today in special elections. That's for Matt Gaetz and the National Security Advisor Mike Waltz's seats. They're running a bit tighter than they should. They're solidly Republican seats, but they're running tighter. We don't expect to see a pickup. But one of the things that's interesting was a seat that was open for a special election if Elise Stefanik, who represents upstate New York, if she did go ahead with her confirmation to be United Nations Secretary. President Trump pulled that nomination because while that seat usually wins by 20 points to the Republicans, it's too close to call. It borders Canada, so they're worried about that seat, and they're worried about the reaction of again, traditional Republican voters who are dissatisfied with what's going on.
And meantime, those federal workers going back to work as ordered, or those returning to jobs which they thought they'd lost, are finding no toilet paper, no privacy, no facilities. It's a mess.
No, absolutely. I mean, again, the supplies are out. Parking is atrocious. Privacy, as you said, is a problem. And this is especially true with secure positions, you know, working out of cubicles. People who would deal with, for instance, in the Veterans Administration, the Veterans Affairs Administration, you know, dealing with psychological issues, you know, and consultations with veterans, they're being held basically in open in an open office. Others, what we were talking about, secrets that have to be maintained, they're also being discussed in an open office. President Trump and Elon Musk say, well, you know, people, you know, may not like this and maybe they'll quit and we won't have to fire them.
Terry, thank you very much for joining us. That's Terry Sheridan, Senior Director of News at WSHU Public Radio. As some of the comments, Trump is, in essence, cut from the same cloth as Putin and would basically plan to carve up the free world between them. Putin starting in Ukraine and now Trump looking to absorb Canada and Greenland, and that's just for starters. In addition, Trump will, just like Putin, manipulate the Constitution to stay in power. The world is getting to be a very unsafe and authoritarian place, from Jay. Another one says of me, making comparisons to Nazi Germany is not only gross, it's entirely inaccurate. Perhaps open a history book rather than make an obnoxious comment. I suggest that you do precisely the same. And we're not talking about the Holocaust. This is long before the Holocaust, when Hitler first came to power, the kind of things that were happening. Tariffs, tariffs, tariffs. Why maintain the anxiety and play Trump's game? We should discuss his actual actions when they happen and ignore his endless threats and thoughts and pure craziness.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.